And welcome to Taylor Reports, CIUT 89.5 FM. I am Phil Taylor. And as you probably remember, Phil Connon loves movies. So he's at the Toronto International Film Festival, and he'll tell us what he's found there, I'm sure. And today we're going to be talking to John Barber, who has a wonderful column, in my opinion, in the Toronto Star on Sunday, the 31st of August. It was dealing with the issue of our great transit debate. And later in the show, we will also, at about 5:30, we're going to talk with a very good friend, Ted Schmidt, who is the author of a memoir of working as a school teacher and as a Catholic activist here in the city of Toronto, called Never Neutral. I started to say No Retreat. I bet he probably would have accepted that one as well. And I'll just remind you, too, that you can always write to us, Taylor at CIUT.fm, and we are on the Facebook / The Taylor Report. I believe, by golly, we are joined by John Barber. How do you do, Mr. Barber?
Hi, how are you?
Very good. You wrote a terrific piece titled Tory's Smart Track Doesn't Live Up to Its Name. You begin by regretting that we seem to be, you say there are two things we really ought not to be, you would wish that we weren't debating. One is Rob Ford, who I guess needs no further introduction or comment. And the second is transit. And so how did we get into this? You also say at the beginning that Olivia Chow misfired, apparently she misfired, as your article indicates, by being sensible, that was seemed like the wrong tack to take.
So, yeah.
So tell us about this perfect storm of Ford and the transit. What's your problem with that?
Well, I think, my problem with transit being, I don't mean transit in general, we shouldn't be talking about that, but I don't think that we should be changing 25-year-old plan every 4 years for momentary political advantage. Mm-hmm. If you're planning these capital projects, you have to make a plan and stick to them. What's happening here in Toronto is that every 4 years, everybody has their own transit plan. Mm-hmm. That's a recipe for going nowhere, because these things take a generation to play out. And when I say that, and so we're getting, four to four now, competing with these fantasy schemes. It seems if you've got a color photocopier and you can draw lines, you're a transit planner in Toronto. That's what I was objecting to.
Mm-hmm. I was speaking to John Barber. The title of the article is Tory's Smart Track Doesn't Live Up to Its Name. Now, you point out, by the way, that we have people who, really, it's their professional business to recommend to the city what would be the best solution to our transportation problems. And they came up with the one that seemed to be agreed to by Olivia Chow, which is more buses and better service. I guess that's a boring idea. Why do we end up talking about digging tunnels and big projects that are going to cost billions of dollars, and somehow that is sexy to the electorate?
Well, I think in fairness, transit is the issue here in Toronto, and it's driven by people in cars as much as anything else, because we've reached a point. So I'm not against people saying, I'm going to fix this problem. No, I am, because the problem can't be fixed. You can stop it from getting worse. But I think that it's good to talk about it. The idea that you need something big and fancy and splashy just is part of the political process. If transit is the issue, you seem to have a thought in advance about it. Other than a rational plan. Mm-hmm. And, Tory's Smart Track is not stupid in the sense that it can be done, and indeed the province of Ontario is already doing it. Mm-hmm. So that's why we wonder why we need municipal taxpayers paying to it's all electric train service in Morgan and Mississauga, which is part of what Tory wants us to do.
Yeah. Now they have begun to say, well, okay, where's the money come from? I seem to recall a candidate. It might have been Stintz. I don't know who. But when they were asked, well, how are you going to provide this? The answer was, as soon as I'm elected, I'm going to go and sit at the door of the premier, which didn't seem to me like a very good idea if you want somebody to vote for you. But anyway, that was what they were going to do, because this city doesn't have the money to come to do these big projects, right?
Well, that's why this debate becomes a little bit ridiculous, because the people with the money are sitting in Queen's Park mainly. Ottawa can be dragged along too, but these are really provincial funding projects, and they're going to make the. I wish that in the past 4 years, the province has been too deferential to the city, and waiting to see what Ross Ford's going to do next, and then agreeing with him. I hope we don't get into that situation. I hope we get a little bit more spine shown in the province, and a little bit more a realistic approach expressed by the municipal politician.
Apparently, the Tory campaign decided that they did need to come up with an answer. And by the way, you suggest they might have drawn it up, I think, on a napkin. But it's called the TIF, or the Tax Increment Financing.
Yeah.
We're told that we can do this by borrow the money and then pay it back based on the increased income that comes from the services we provide in new businesses, et cetera.
Well, mainly just property tax realty.
Property
tax. They're talking about. So you get so the idea is that you build a subway, developers build high rises that raises the revenue from the property taxes, and you appropriate that money to pay for pay off the loan.
The way they sell this is to say very baldly, well, it worked in New York, and you really took them to task for saying that it worked in New York. Tell us what that experience was and how it's been misrepresented in your view.
Well, I think to say that you're going to pay with something this way is pretty radical, because it hasn't really worked. But to use as an example project in New York that hasn't worked, to use that as a success, just tells me that these people haven't thought through what they're proposing, and that they are rashly proposing something that they don't really know anything about, and it's going to end up costing the taxpayers of Toronto an enormous amount of money, because, in New York, for instance, New York taxpayers were told that they wouldn't cost anything. They're paying several million dollars a year in interest on these loans, I think $300 million so far, and the bill's not going down, and the project's not finished. So, I think that to promote that as a success story is not only, crazy. It's rash, and I don't want people playing around with my money as if it's a game of three card money. That's what really pissed them out, as far as I'm concerned.
That $3 billion, and the years go by, and it turns out only the interest being paid. What about the political culture here? When you end up with the point saying we're entering a period where it's the victory goes to the one who's willing to say anything.
Yeah.
You must lament that. Of course, for years you've been writing about this, but I've been one of the most astute students of Toronto politics.
Well, thank you.
How does this occur that we have a pretty bright city, and people read books and have good columnists, etc.?
Yeah, well, we elect Rob Ford, too.
Now we have, do we owe it to the world to keep him there so that they will remain entertained by our strange politics?
Well, entertained at all of our expense. I think this is It's like something that keeps happening again and again and again, and you sort of speak out of it. That's how I get to like it. He'll be forced to make some sense out of this promise, and he'll salvage something, but I doubt very much to get approval from the city council to use tax increment financing. Mm-hmm. Something will happen. It will not happen the way it's been advertised. It probably won't be the disaster it could have been, but it won't happen as nearly as fast as it should have.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Toronto way, I think. You know, we eventually get there. It just takes us 3 times as long. And that costs money. That costs a lot of money. See, we rip up a lot of plans, and we fill in a lot of already dug tunnels in this city.
Yeah, well, yeah. The last time I saw a slogan from Ford, it was bore, bore, and bore. Something he doesn't do. I mean, he's a lively Adam. We all agree. We're speaking to John Barber. Has a wonderful column. It's the Sunday, October 31st, Toronto Star. The title, Tory's Smart Track Doesn't Live Up to Its Name. I want to ask you, just as an observer of this, is there a sense of, again, of this odd gas that comes into our politics in Ontario called strategic voting? I'm hearing more and more people putting in their columns and comments, you know, somebody's got to drop out to save us from Ford.
Well, I don't think somebody has to drop off, but I do think that people, the Torontonians, will definitely vote strategically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the name of the game is to stop Ford from winning among the majority of voters.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to decide who has the best chance of doing that, which is why I think that the fates are against Olivia Child right now. There can't be two people. If you vote for somebody who doesn't look like they're going to win, then you're risking electing Ford.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that right now, Tory especially stands to profit from the very real need to do some strategic voting for people who are against Ford.
Yes. And a last point I want to remind people, some time back you wrote I found a very interesting article about the fact that we're not actually legally permitted to have party politics in Metro Toronto, and whereas in Montreal they do, and they even have Metro political parties. How did we find ourselves in that situation? How come Montreal could do that and we can't?
I think it's because we have a very paternalistic political culture. it's the fanny state here, the prevailing view in Queen's Park is that municipal politicians are troublemakers. You get them a short leash. They're valuable, the valuable training ground, but they don't want these people having too much independence and mucking about in their own backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows that every municipal politician succeeds with the help of a party organization.
Mm-hmm.
But the first thing they do when they try to go to become a mayor, for instance, is to shuck off the party
mm-hmm.
affiliation. And people prefer it that way. Olivia Child, the NDP candidate, is doing very badly in this race.
Mm-hmm. Overall, you do think that would probably help us shape our political questions when we come, had a situation like today.
I actually think there's not enough money in municipal politics.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there should be money for organizations to influence the vote. Right now, you can't have parties, therefore you can't have any funds to help anybody except those funds that are raised strictly by individual candidates during the election period.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's just like a fundamental restriction on freedom of expression, which is not tolerable in our society.
Mm-hmm.
Many other people disagree, or more to the point, they don't care.
Yeah. Well, John Barber, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and I hope everybody will go and find out. I think it's one of the more memorable pieces that's been written about this election. Thank you very much for joining us.
I'm Star tomorrow, too, so take a look at the Star tomorrow. I'll be writing about Olivia's job.
That's okay. We won't ask to scoop you on that, but we really look forward to it. Thanks very much.
Thank you, man. See you.
Okay. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
That's John Barber, and he does... John's very astute and, let's say, acerbic commentaries on what goes on in the city of Toronto and how come. I'm very interested in that thesis that party politics should be more visible in our city because you know, when the grass gets tall, strange things go on. It's allegedly that's where snakes hide. And while you're listening to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM,